Good afternoon. You're listening to a special call-in show on Juno Afternoon. We have United Way healthcare navigator Crystal Borland in the studio to answer your questions on healthcare, health insurance, the Affordable Care Act, and everything in between. The weather forecast for today is mostly sunny with highs around 40. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows 20 to 28. And for tomorrow, increasing clouds, highs around 37. The deadline to apply for health care coverage is March 31st. So get your questions answered right now by calling 463-6455. Again, that's 643-6455. And right now we have United Way healthcare navigator Crystal Borland in the studio to answer your questions on healthcare. Welcome, Crystal.
Thank you.
And right now we have a different Crystal calling in to talk about healthcare.
Hi. Yes. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to tell your listeners a little bit about my experience and maybe hopefully why it's so important to consider enrolling. So my name is Crystal A. Rogers. I am Alaska Native, and I recently enrolled in the National Healthcare Program. I've been hearing and seeing the push to get the general public enrolled, which is great. However, when this effort is directed toward Native people, this campaign seems to change from being focused on enrollment to exemption. And while it is important for Native people to know how and why they need to file for a lifetime exemption, it concerns me and frankly disappoints me that there is no wide public effort to enroll Native people. I do know that organizations like United Way and ANTHC are encouraging enrollment in person, but every single public announcement from any organization I have heard through the media has been about exemption only. And it seems to be working. It sounds like Native people have been showing up and asking how they can avoid paying the penalty. Had there been more of a unified message encouraging Native people to enroll, maybe more would be showing up asking what their health coverage options are. The truth is that Native people can be uninsured or underinsured as well. Indian health facilities, while I cannot understate their importance, limit those who need care beyond what they can or choose to provide. Indian health service providers sometimes seem to resist referring their patients for tests and services instead of listening fully to their patients' concerns and screening for health risks. I imagine this is because these organizations rely on sources of funding that do not come from their patients, but the consequences can be dramatic. For example, my own mother went to an Indian health facility with severe pelvic pain over and over again, asking them to find out what was wrong with her. After years of being sent away, when they finally did run some tests, her reproductive organs were covered with tumors, a cancer that started in her ovaries, and she had a mass in her stomach the size of a grapefruit. It had metastasized. She was already in stage 4, and that's the last stage. I had about a year and a half with her before she died in 2010. Now that I'm thinking of starting my own family, I find the same doctors who turned my mother away are reluctant to listen to and act upon my own reproductive concerns. Also, until I enrolled through Marketplace, I was constantly paying out of pocket for services that Indian Health could not provide. Indian Health Service is not insurance. It doesn't travel with you. So when I was a college student for 7 years, and now as I travel to learn and teach my traditional Native art, I do not have regular employment with health insurance benefits. Getting enrolled with an IHS facility takes time, and you cannot enroll in every city that you travel to. I have frequently had to pay for urgent and emergent care while traveling. So national health care has been a blessing. With the coverage that I chose, everything from primary care to specialized care and emergency services are covered. Pregnancy and delivery, mental health services, pain management, the list goes on and on. I can go to a natural doctor, get 12 acupuncture and 12 chiropractor visits a year. I can see any doctor I choose, both in and out of network, and there is zero copay for my prescriptions. With my tax credit, my premium is only $168 a month, and I was paying more for that for naturopath and acupuncture every month alone. And for an extra $20 a month, all the partial dental coverage I was getting through Search is now fully covered because my insurance pays for what Search doesn't. And I will continue to go to Indian healthcare facilities, but my life has been so much more enriched, and I've gotten some of the best care I've ever had now that I have marketplace options. So I hope this helps illustrate how important health and dental coverage is and encourages everyone to consider the options that marketplace provides. This issue is very important to me, so thank you for letting me contribute.
Thank you, Crystal, for calling in and telling us that important information. Crystal Borland, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, well, just also thank you, Crystal, so much for calling me. She called me yesterday to tell me about this after she heard a Tuesday show where I was on talking about what we were doing this week at Gold Medal and helping with the exemptions. And she just, you know, provides such a valuable insight that, you know, although people receive services through IHS and they're very robust, that when you're traveling or if you have specialty care or a lot of healthcare needs, that this is a very, you know, a good option. And for some people, they're getting really low costs for really nice, comprehensive insurance. So thank you so much for shedding light on that and for speaking up. So we really appreciate you coming on to share. Thanks, Crystal.
Yeah, thank you for all the work that you're doing.
I especially like the distinction that Crystal, the caller, made about the difference between Indian health services or tribal health and insurance, because they are very different things. And what this Affordable Care Act is trying to get people to do is sign up for insurance.
Correct. Yeah, getting people to sign up for insurance, but also recognizing that Alaska Natives and American Indians, you know, will be exempt from what this penalty is going to be for not having insurance, because they do have a right and go see their Search and other health clinics in the area, but that there are options. And just one thing to know, if you are Alaska Native or American Indian, there's no enrollment deadline. We keep hearing this deadline of March 31st. If you're uninsured, you need to go out and look for insurance, whether it's through the marketplace, through healthcare.gov or other. But if you're Alaska Native, American Indian, there's no enrollment deadline. You have all year to get enrolled. So even a few months down the line, if you decide this is something you want to explore, it's going to be open to you. And there's also some more cost-sharing benefits to Alaska Natives, American Indians. So just some things to keep in mind as you explore your options.
Okay, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to a Juno Afternoon, and we have a special call-in show where we have healthcare navigator Crystal Borland in the studio to answer your questions on healthcare. Call right now, 463-6455. Again, that's 463-6455 to get your healthcare questions answered. The deadline is March 31st for many Americans to enroll. And I know that you are just having an enrollment event in Juno. How is that going?
Yeah, it went well. We expected more people, but you know, it was good. We got some folks enrolled and was definitely there to help answer some questions. You know, one thing I just want to say right off the bat is everyone's hearing about, well, maybe in my world, I'm hearing a lot about the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare, and people are like, well, what do I need to do? Well, one thing to know is if you're insured, if you have employer plan, a retiree health benefits, you have VA health benefits, you buy your own individual policy, you're on Medicare, Medicaid, Denali KidCare, you're considered covered. You don't need to take any action. What all this talk is about is for people that are uninsured and underinsured, there are new ways to purchase health insurance with financial assistance options if you're income eligible. And the deadline being March 31st to be enrolled in that program. What we're facing is a penalty if people go uninsured. With all these new options, there's also, I guess, a responsibility there. And so that penalty is going to be for 2014 taxes in 2015. So if you continue to be uninsured, you might face a $95 penalty or 1% of your income, whichever is higher. So just some of those things to keep in mind as our health insurance landscape is changing.
We do have a caller. Caller, you're on air.
Yeah, hello. It is so hard to get through search to find an answer for almost anything. Just for general cost and whatnot, if you're paying out of pocket, you have to go through too many lines to get something figured out. It took on my cell phone here, you know, paying for minutes, you know, and it took like a half hour, and it took a week and a half just to find a general answer to a simple question. So there you go. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, caller.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Yeah, I can't speak much to search and their services, but if you're someone who is looking for other options or having, you know, coverage on top of that, then of course, you know, feel free to set up an appointment with myself. Maybe we'll throw out my office line real quick.
Sure.
Well, probably the easiest way, if you wanted to get a hold of me, 211 Alaska's Information Referral Line. They'll refer you to a navigator, which is what my title is called, or to someone who's in person who can assist. And so if you dial 211 in Alaska, then that will get you to the right person. My office line is 523-1147. So if you do have some additional questions and you can't call in right now, or you want to set up an appointment, or just, you know, any sort of curiosity, 523-1147. And that's my line here in Juneau.
Okay, Crystal, I think we have another caller. Caller, you're on air.
Hi, Crystal.
Yes, hello.
Hi. I work at a medical office in the Valley, and I don't know if you can answer these kind of questions on this kind of a call or not, but I've had patients come in and say that their Medicare is being reduced because of the Affordable Care Act, because of the $6 million that was taken out from the Medicare Advantage. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to answer their question about that. And then another question they've had is that they had Blue Cross coverage before the Affordable Care Act, and it was not acceptable to the Affordable Care Act, so they were dropped from that policy, and it was going to cost them double what it cost before with the Affordable Care Act, and so they've elected to just not insurance.
Okay. Thanks for calling and asking those questions. You know, I can't speak specifically to Medicare or to people's current benefits. My role is really to help people, you know, understand the new insurance landscape with getting through the marketplace, those that are really uninsured and underinsured. I know there's some really good literature about Medicare and any changes, which is from what I've read is that really there's no benefits that are going away to Medicare recipients. But of course, some of those more details, you know, the Affordable Care Act, it's a huge piece of legislation. I can't pretend to know even a portion of it. So I think some good resources for you is the SHIP or talking to Medicare, the state office. And so I can certainly, if you call my office line or call 211 to get in touch with me, I can refer you over to their 1-800 number. They're in Anchorage. And again, they can speak a lot more to the Affordable Care Act and any effects and as it pertains to Medicare. So that would be a good resource. And also healthcare.gov has some really good literature about Medicare and what people might need to know. And so if you just go to healthcare.gov and type in Medicare, it'll talk a little bit about any of the changes or maybe some of the benefits to that program. So I would recommend that, and then feel free to give me a call and we can chat. So thanks again for calling.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, caller. And if you have more questions on healthcare, call 463-6455. Again, that's 463-6455. Crystal Borland, United Way Healthcare Navigator, is in KTOO right now answering questions on the Affordable Care Act, health insurance, healthcare. There are some people who knew they couldn't listen in today, so they submitted their questions beforehand. Here's the first one. I am a seasonal worker.
that has two seasonal jobs in which I have health care while employed in each. In between jobs, I will be without health care for approximately 2 to 4 weeks. I have the option to purchase COBRA during this period, but would prefer not to. Am I required to purchase health care during this period? If not, what procedures do I need to follow? Is an exemption a possibility?
Yeah, those are great questions, especially for Alaskans. We have so many seasonal workers. I've been one. Definitely understand that there's a transition there. And so, no, not required to go on COBRA. It sounds like the person who had emailed said they usually have a few weeks gap in health coverage, and that is totally acceptable. The Affordable Care Act says that there can be a gap in coverage for up to 3 months. So that's about 90 days, and which is why we're seeing that March 31st deadline for other people that are uninsured. Sure, that's about that 3 months gap. So if you're someone who does switch jobs and therefore a group plan, you can go up to 90 days without health coverage and you would be exempt. And there's no paperwork that you need to do. It'll be handled on your taxes. So you don't need to take any action. Just make sure it doesn't go over that 90 days and you should be absolutely fine.
Okay, great. I hope that answered that person's question.
I hope so too.
Again, if you have a healthcare question, call 463-6455. And it appears that we do have a question. Caller, you're on air.
Oh, good afternoon. Thanks for the program. I'm a grandma, and my grandkids are reaching that young adulthood age. And so one is just completing high school and out looking for work now. And so do I ask him to fill out that? Oh, he's also search eligible. Do you think I should suggest to him? I missed any of the earlier conversation. So at age of 18, 19, do kids start filling those things out if they're no longer necessarily under their parents' insurance because they're not living at home, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a few answers to that. So if they have Alaska Native American Indian status, then we're suggesting that the Indian exemption form be filled out by all people except for those that are on Medicare. So older adults who are on Medicare, Alaska Native don't need to fill out the exemption. But in this case, yes, they should fill out the exemption form. And what that means is they get a lifetime exemption and would never be subject to a penalty for not having formal health insurance. So if they have gaps of health insurance or just choose to continue to receive services through search and Indian Health Services, then certainly that exemption form should be filled out as soon as possible. You can get them at search, you can get them online, or you can, of course, give me a call and I can help fill that out with you guys. And then for health insurance, it really depends. Some parents' plans will cover their dependent children if they have insurance through an employer or other means up until they're 26. For others, it's not that long. So it really depends on also what the parents' insurance looks like. And as an individual, they can certainly go through this program to see if they qualify for financial assistance to get some private health insurance. So if they want to go on healthcare.gov or reach out to myself to see if they could find a good plan, then that's definitely another option. So again, it really depends on what their parents' insurance looks like and if it extends down to them and for how long, for how old. And then if they're going to go on to be students, then there are student health insurance plans at different universities. So actually many options there.
All righty. And then for myself, I'm this year transitioning probably from full-time employment to retirement and believe my retirement plan will kick right in. But do you think it's a good idea to fill it out just to have it there, the exemption form?
Well, if you have retiree benefits that are health benefits that are going to continue on indefinitely, then you're probably just fine being, not filling out the paperwork. But if there is any point where that might end before you transition to Medicare, then you might as well fill out the exemption form.
Okay. Well, thanks for your program today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Call 463-6455 with your healthcare question. While we do have a break in calls, we have a second question that was submitted. There is a lot of talk about how March 31st is the deadline for enrolling in the Affordable Care Act. However, I am working for the legislature and will have health care coverage through my employer through the end of April. Am I allowed to enroll in ACA, the Affordable Care Act, after March 31st, when my employer-provided coverage terminates?
Another great question, and yes. So people that end up having a change in jobs, they're losing their employer coverage, maybe they're getting kicked off Medicaid, yes, they would get a special enrollment period. And definitely terminating employer coverage does trigger a special enrollment period. So someone would have within 60 days of that event. So if you're losing it at the end of April, you have a 60-day window where you can either contact the marketplace by their 1-800 number, go see a navigator, or of course, just go on the website at healthcare.gov to put in your application. Or you can also go and look at other insurance options outside of the marketplace, but you would want to stay within that 90-day. You don't want to have more than a 90-day gap of coverage, or you might be subject to a penalty at tax time. So whichever way you go get insurance through the marketplace, you'll have a special enrollment period. And outside of that, just make sure you don't have a gap of more than 3 months.
Great. Thank you. If you're just joining us, you're listening to a Juno Afternoon, and we're having a special call-in show. We have United Way healthcare navigator Crystal Borland in the studio to answer your questions on healthcare, health insurance, the Affordable Care Act, and everything in between. Call 463-6455, 463-6455, and get your questions answered. So you just brought up a very interesting point. You said that people who do have insurance through their employer that may end after March 31st can still apply, and they can contact a navigator. We keep hearing about this deadline, but will you still be a navigator after March 31st?
I hope so. Yeah, so I'm with United Way of Anchorage, of course, based here in Juneau. And so we're on a grant basis. This was a federal grant to help people understand their options in this new health insurance landscape, to help guide them through really the website, too, and the online experience of going for health insurance and helping a lot of people that have never had it really understand kind of the basics of health insurance. You know, it's not necessarily easy. So I will be here at least through the summer months, hopefully up until August when the grant here. So I'll be able to assist people through the open enrollment period. You know, another avenue is that there are licensed agents and brokers that are in town that get certified through the marketplace. So some of them are, some of them aren't, that can assist people. And when I keep saying the marketplace, again, I just want to say for those, it's based on income. So if you're income eligible to get financial assistance to purchase health insurance and you don't have another means to get it, then you probably want to explore the marketplace or healthcare.gov first. But of course, people that lose employer coverage who maybe are outside of the income guidelines could go purchase health insurance any way they normally would through a broker, through the insurance company, directly through another website online. But there are agents and brokers that will be in town, and hopefully people will continue to have in-person assistance when they're going through this process.
I'm sure what you've learned and what I've learned just doing stories on this, reporting on this, is that everybody's situation is different. People have different income, different family situations, marriage status, employer status. And people who are going through this process, as you're going through them, have been encountering lots of surprises. I know people are getting financial assistance who they didn't even know they qualified for it.
Right.
People who've never been covered before are getting covered. What has it been like, you know, encountering these surprises with people as they're doing it?
Yeah, there's been a lot of good surprises, and it's been wonderful. There's been people, you know, one of the first women I helped, she had health insurance in over 5 years for her, and I think for a while for her family members. And so it's really special to be able to assist someone and go through the process. You know, there's been a lot of bumps along the way. This is a huge new program, really affects the way people can purchase health insurance. And so it's been a learning curve, and I've been learning it along with a lot of the clients and people that I've helped. So I've always appreciated their patience with the website as well as with myself. But, you know, there's people definitely that haven't had insurance in years that they've had a pre-existing condition, and because they don't get insurance through an employer, they've had huge barriers to getting insurance, and they just feel so relieved when they walk away, like this huge weight has been lifted off their shoulders. They can, you know, access health insurance and doctors and facilities when they need it. And then some people are a little surprised, you know, younger adults, sometimes their income bracket is is a little bit, you know, higher for this program. And so they're seeing that they're still having to add a kind of a big bill to their lifestyle. So, you know, it's not that this is miraculous for everyone. I think a lot of people are getting great deals and are really excited about it. And then some people are realizing that, you know, they're really having to put up some money every month to pay for health insurance. And when you're not used to doing that, it's like anything. You're adding a new bill. You're adding a new car insurance, a new cell phone bill. It's been a ride, Lisa. A good ride.
Besides, you know, requiring that every American have health insurance, part of the Affordable Care Act also has mandated what is in these health plans. So, like you said, some people might be paying a bigger bill than they're used to paying, but these health insurance plans are covering a lot more than what they might have gotten beforehand.
Right. Yeah. Previously, you know, people could get, and there are still catastrophic plans out there, but what a catastrophic meaning that, you know, they really have really high deductibles, which is the amount that you really have to put forward out of your pocket before the health insurance company starts kicking in and helping you pay. So, people could get by on, you know, these plans that, again, a lot of out-of-pocket costs, but lower monthly payments. What we're seeing now is that, you know, the plans, like through the marketplace and now in the individual market, they're really comprehensive. I mean, they cover your emergency. They cover regular doctor visits, free preventative services. They cover prescription drug coverage, acupuncture, chiropractic care. Crystal Rogers, who called in, was talking a little bit about some of that access to other alternative, you know, care. So, you know, they're really going to cover you pretty well. And there's also, by law, kind of a maximum out-of-pocket that people can pay now. So for what that means is for an individual, if you've paid out-of-pocket, if you have health insurance, $6,350 for that year. That's the max that you should have to pay. And after that, the company really kicks in. So there are protections put in place, consumer protections, to make sure people aren't going into bankruptcy with their healthcare needs.
You're listening to a special call-in show on Juno Afternoon. We have United Way healthcare navigator Crystal Borland in the studio to answer your questions on healthcare. Call 463-6455. 463-6455. And if you've been listening, you'll know that Crystal is a wealth of information.
Thank you.
Oh, we have a caller. Caller, you're on air.
Oh, I don't want to be on air.
Okay. So we will find a way to get that question from that caller. Okay. In the meantime, again, 463-6455, if you want to be on air asking a question to Crystal Borland, healthcare navigator with United Way. And so I've heard some people say, okay, we have a caller. Caller, you're on air.
Hi. I have a question. My son, who's in his early 20s, purchased a plan through the marketplace. And now he's going to be working a seasonal position with the state of Alaska, and he's going to have coverage only for the limited number of months that he's going to be working. So does he need to – is it okay to have double coverage if he keeps both programs, or should he drop one for the minimum amount of time he's covered by his state plan?
Yeah, good question. And again, kind of going back to that seasonal work that a lot of us in Alaska face. And so the marketplace plan that he's on, is what the program requires is that people don't have another form of health coverage available to them, another affordable health coverage available. So it sounds like in this case, he's about to be put on an employer coverage that's probably considered adequate and affordable. And so in the meantime, he does need to drop his healthcare.gov or his marketplace coverage. Again, it's only really because it's offering financial assistance to people. It's really only for those who don't have other options that are uninsured, underinsured, and don't have an offer through an employer. But what will happen is if he drops his marketplace plan, gets on to his employer plan for that limited time, he'll have a special enrollment period when that job ends. So when his seasonal job ends, he'll be able to have a 60-day window to get back into the marketplace. And because his application is already there and his information is already in there, it should be hopefully pretty seamless to then get back onto a plan. So it is jumping through a few hoops. You know, you need to cancel, re-enroll, but, you know, not double coverage in this case, and to go ahead and cancel that marketplace plan and try and time it to when that state insurance works out. So, but this is a great program for people that generally go on COBRA or choose not to have health insurance in that meantime where they're transitioning from jobs or seasonal, that they can get in the marketplace and have that special enrollment period of 60 days from that event and hopefully get some more affordable coverage.
So if his state insurance doesn't kick in for several weeks, or it's at least 30 days, it has to be continuous employment for a certain amount of time, does he wait until he's partway employed, or how does that work? Because he's going to be working in a remote field, and there's no, you know, we can't even get to a telephone.
Yep. So he should call the insurance company that he chose, the insurer, and let them know that he'll be dropping his plan. So maybe his last payment will be, let's say, in April. So his work coverage starts in May. So just to call in advance and kind of time it out to make that last month's payment and then make sure it goes through the end of the month and then transition over to the employer coverage. And hopefully he can maybe work with human resources or someone who can help him, you know, on the employer side of that, figure out exactly how that seamless transition can happen where there's no gap in coverage there. Just calling the insurance company and working with them to let them know that he's going to have to drop at this point and this certain date.
Okay, well, thanks for your help.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for calling. So you're listening to a Juno Afternoon, a special call-in show with Crystal Borland, healthcare navigator. Call 463-6455 with your healthcare question. We're going to take a quick break and listen to National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Tristan Otto and sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. After receiving complaints, Colorado State Museum has closed an exhibit on the Sand Creek Massacre and began consulting with tribes. Descendants of survivors of Sand Creek raised concerns that some exhibit dates were incorrect, many details of the massacre were not included, and many were angered that the event was portrayed as a collision of cultures. More than 160 Cheyenne and Arapahos were killed by U.S. Army forces during the Sand Creek Massacre in 1864 after the government ordered the tribes to stay at the site. The victims were mostly women, children, and elders. Bodies were mutilated by troops, and many body parts were taken back to Denver as trophies. Colorado State officials have agreed to work with the Cheyenne and Arapaho tribes of Oklahoma, the Northern Cheyenne tribe of Montana, and the Northern Arapaho tribe of Wyoming. Powwows are a way for people to come together and to re-energize culture, but Northern Cheyenne artist Bentley Spang is taking a different spin on powwows with his cross-cultural techno powwow. As Wyoming Public Radio's Micah Schweitzer reports, Spang is combining hip-hop and dance in an installation that imagines how a cultural cornerstone may look in the future.
The event's MC is Spang's alter ego, Blue Guy, Indian of the future, his face painted blue, wearing a sequined cowboy hat and shades. Spang says Blue Guy and the techno powwow stand against the idea that Native American culture is static or defined by the 19th century.
You do really never hear Indian and future in the same sense.
Spang's powwow for the 21st century brings together Native dancers with live DJs and hip-hop break dancers. His first techno powwow was at the Montana Artist Refuge in 2004. The inspiration came from techno raves Spang attended during grad school in the 90s when electronic music took over dance clubs.
One night I remember sort of visualizing a powwow fancy dancer in the middle of this rave setting with, you know, lasers and people dancing. And it just made sense. I was like, oh, we got to do this.
The University of Wyoming event on April 2nd will be Bentley Spang's third techno powwow. For National Native News, I'm Micah Schweitzer.
An Oklahoma tribe has initiated a program to address poverty. Federal and tribal officials discussed the program Wednesday at the National Reservation Economic Summit in Las Vegas. National Native News anchor Antonia Gonzalez reports.
Earlier this year, the White House announced the Choctaw Nation was among five communities to be designated a Promise Zone. It's part of President Obama's plan to address poverty by providing the zones resources like grants and tax incentives. 2 months ago, the tribe initiated the program. Bill Wimberly is the Choctaw's Chief Business and Economic Development Officer. He explained some of the unique incentives.
Well, what we're told is that in a lot of cases, this is not new money. But the Promise Zone forces each one of these federal agencies to set aside a percentage of their budget specifically for the Promise Zone. And since we are the only Native American tribe, and we are the most agrarian of all of the Promise Zones, we think we're going to get substantial help in agriculture, We will get substantial help with tourism and other areas that we wouldn't otherwise get. So those are really the advantages for us.
The Choctaw Nation will report regularly to the federal government. The tribe's creating a website that will include progress on the Promise Zone. Wimberly says the session at the conference was not only to provide information, but meant to inspire tribes. He says they also hope to be of assistance after being the first tribe chosen to participate in the competitive program. The White House plans to identify 20 zones total in the coming years. Reporting in Las Vegas, I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
On this day in 1909, the Navajo National Monument was established in Arizona. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Autone.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support provided by the National Institutes of Health. The Center for American Indian Resilience is now accepting applications from Native American students for the Summer Research Enhancement Program through March 28. Student interns will participate in a wide variety of ongoing public health research and health promotion projects. Interns receive research credits, housing at the Dene College Tsele campus, and a stipend. Go to nau.edu/cair for information and applications.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Support for this program comes from Art Matters, providing 25 years of custom framing services for prints, photos, and much more. Plus, an on-site gallery showcasing Alaskan prints and posters. More information at 789-4370.
You're listening to a special call-in show on Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Lisa Fu. We have United Way healthcare navigator Crystal Borland in the studio to answer your questions on healthcare and health insurance and the Affordable Care Act. Call 463-6455. Again, that's 463-6455. To talk to Crystal on air about your healthcare question. And if you do have a question but don't want to be on air, please email your question to jeff@ktoo.org. So what we've been hearing a lot, Crystal, is this deadline, March 31st. I know some people kind of still don't want to accept that the Affordable Care Act law is here. It's real. Can you just walk us through a typical enrollment session for people who just maybe still don't know what they should be doing?
Yeah, I get a lot of people that are still confused, and that's okay because it is so new, and it's understandable that, you know, sometimes people just need to come in and talk it out rather than talk to a call center or maybe figure it out online. Typically what I'll do is I just want to get, you know, feel people out. Are they insured or are they uninsured? Or maybe they purchased their own private policy and they are looking for a better deal. And so in that case, what we can do is talk a little bit about, a lot of this goes back to income. So the marketplace or healthcare.gov, it's looking at what's people's income so we can see if they are eligible for financial assistance to lower their monthly payments, and in some circumstances also lower some of their out-of-pocket costs like deductibles and out-of-pocket maximums. And so what we can do is we can actually just start by seeing the plans before applying. We enter in their zip code, their county, how many people are in their family that are looking for coverage, and then just a kind of an idea of what their adjusted gross income would be for the year. So everyone's just doing their taxes, right? So you kind of have a good idea. It's fresh in your mind of how much you make. Type in that number, and then we get to see how much financial assistance might be possible for their family or for that individual. In some cases, people are really surprised, pleasantly surprised, that they're seeing how much assistance that is available. And so then we look at some of those plans, and if they're seeming like they want to continue through the process, then we'll go ahead and start an application. So set up an account. And again, you know, health insurance companies can't ask your medical history anymore. This is not about your medical history. People come in and they want to tell me about their medical history, and I just want to know about their income. So we go through and kind of, you know, figure out how they file taxes and again, what their income is for the year. And based on that, they get a number. And then they have a whole option of plans. So there's two companies that are selling plans inside the marketplace, Premera Blue Cross Blue Shield and Moda Health. And then there's a whole number of plans within those two companies. So we kind of start to look and compare the different ones, again, taking into account that financial assistance that will be bringing down their monthly portion, as well as some of their out-of-pocket costs. If someone comes in and they're insured, but they're just really confused, like, well, what do I need to do to be in compliance? And generally, if they have adequate, affordable insurance and they're happy with it, then, you know, they walk away and that's done. So,
great. That's Crystal Borland, healthcare navigator with United Way. If you have a question about healthcare or the Affordable Care Act, call 463-6455 right now and ask your question. I've heard some people say, I'll just pay the penalty. The deadline is March 31st, and if they don't enroll in healthcare before that, by that date, there will be a tax penalty. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so the penalty, which I think is a big one, that's what people keep hearing about and calling me about, the penalty would be taken out on your 2014 tax return in 2015. So not the taxes we're filing right now, which, reminder, file your taxes, it's almost 31st, but it's going to be on our next year's tax return. So if you're uninsured and you continue to stay uninsured, or you don't file an appropriate exemption form, and I can talk a little bit more about that, then the penalty would be $95 for an adult, $47.50 for a child, or 1% of income, whichever is greater. So really, anyone making over $10,000, it's 1% of their income that ends up being the penalty on their taxes, not the $95. So that's for this first year, and then it steadily goes up every year. And I think by 2016, it's about $700 penalty or 2.5% of your income, whichever is greater. So it definitely goes up in the subsequent years.
Okay, great. And so, yeah, the mindset of I'll just pay the penalty, there's probably a problem if the fees just keep going up.
Yes.
Okay. We do have a caller. We have a question. Caller, you're on air.
Hi, good afternoon. My question is, can one use their 2013 tax return in order to apply for government aid to help with the health care premium?
Yeah, so when you're going through the application process, it's asking you kind of what your current income is, but then it asks you a follow-up question, and it's a pretty important one. It says, do you expect that this is what your income will be in 2014? So they're really actually asking you to project your 2014 income. So those tax credits or subsidies that they're going to be giving you is really based on a projection. For some people, this is really challenging because their incomes change year to year. And so then I say try and look at what's an average of the last few years. And for some, if their income is really steady, then it's going to be a little easier to project. So 2013 certainly helps give us a figure, but you're looking at your projected income.
That's what you're going to use. And so when you apply, they'll give you a figure of what they're going to help you with based on that projection. That's what you're saying, pretty much?
I am, and it's actually really quick. I mean, if you go through the application process, it happens in real time. Or if you just want to browse, you can go to healthcare.gov and hit See Plans Before I Apply on the left, and it will actually, just based on your income, age, family size, it will come up with an income or with a financial assistance really quickly. So then you can just get an idea, is this even going to be affordable or likely for me? It just kind of helps before you go through the application process to have an idea going into it.
Got you. One more question.
Sure.
I've heard about minimum income required in order to qualify to get government help. Like if you don't make a certain minimum amount of income, then you will not qualify for Obamacare or whatever. And say you make too much to get Medicaid, is it? And then you don't make
right.
enough to. Is there a minimum income actually that one can use? I mean, what's the?
There is. You are totally right. And so the marketplace is really looking at income between 100 and 400% of the federal poverty level, which, just to keep us in mind, this is higher in Alaska than it is in the lower 48. For an individual, so someone who files singly, that's about $14,350 up to $57,400 a year. For, let's say, a family of four, that's a minimum income of about $29,440 up to $117,760. So it's a really big, there's a big middle there. But you're right. People that fall below the federal poverty level who are childless or they don't have small children or dependents that they're looking after, they fall into what's called the Medicaid gap. When the Affordable Care Act passed, all states were going to expand their Medicaid program, which is free to low-cost health insurance for low-income individuals. Right now, it's only for pregnant women or for parents or caretakers of small children or for people with disabilities. And so that program was going to expand to include childless adults, so anyone who was on that low-income scale below the poverty level. But our state chose not to expand. States were given the option, and as of this fall, our state chose not to expand that program. So people are falling into what's known as the Medicaid gap. And I think there's about 40,000 individuals in Alaska that fall into that gap. So you're right, to get into this program, because it wasn't set up to accept those people, they would be paying full price or they would be filing a hardship exemption. And I can also assist with that hardship exemption.
I see. Okay, well, great. Thank you very much. You've answered my two questions I had and a few more as well. So.
Okay. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you, callers, for your questions, and thank you, healthcare navigator Crystal Borland, for being here with us today and answering questions. This call-in show will be available to listen to online on KTOO.org a little later today. Just click on local programs, then click on Juno Afternoon. Up next, we'll talk to Nancy DeCherney with Arts Up, but right now, here's Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 20th of March, 2014. It's the birthday of the Roman poet Ovid, born in what is now Sulmo, Italy, in 43 BC. He became a famous poet in Rome. He was part of the inner circles of the court, published erotic poems, including his Ars Amatoria, which instructed people on the arts of seduction and lovemaking, wrote his Metamorphoses, which traced Greek and Roman mythology through the lens of humans' metamorphoses into other objects, into stones or stars or animals. And then suddenly, in the year 8 AD, Ovid was exiled for reasons that nobody knows even today. Spent 10 miserable years in exile in what is now Romania, and then died. It's the birthday of Henrik Ibsen, the playwright, born in Skien, Norway, 1828, best known for his play A Doll's House, about Nora, who was stuck in an unhappy marriage, and the play ended with Nora slamming the door and walking out on her husband. Henrik Ibsen left Norway for a life of exile, 1864. It was his own choice. Life abroad was very hard. He and his wife lived in poverty, though he wrote constantly. He became depressed and exhausted, was on the verge of a nervous breakdown in 1865, almost died, and the next spring his play Brand appeared in Norway. It got great reviews. It was a success. King Carl of Sweden gave Ibsen a pension, and he went on to write Peer Gynt, An Enemy of the People, and Hedda Gabler. It's the anniversary of the founding of the Republican Party, 1854, at a little schoolhouse in Ripon, Wisconsin. It was on this day, 1852, Harriet Beecher Stowe's novel Uncle Tom's Cabin was published. In the next 5 years, it sold about 2 million copies in this country. It's the anniversary of Albert Einstein's general theory of relativity on this date in 1916, which said that both time and motion are relative to the observer. Einstein said, "When you are courting a nice girl, an hour seems like a second. When you sit on a red-hot cinder, a second seems like an hour." That's relativity. Here's a poem for today by Ogden Nash, entitled Spring Comes to Murray Hill. I sit in an office at 244 Madison Avenue and say to myself, you have a responsible job, haven't you? Why then do you fritter away your time on this doggerel? If you have a sore throat, you can cure it by using a good goggerel. If you have a sore foot, you can get it fixed by a chiropodist, and you can get your original sin removed by St. John the Baptist. Why then should this flocculent lassitude be incurable? Kansas City, Kansas, proves that even Kansas City needn't always be miserable. Up, up, my soul, this inaction is abominable. The Pilgrims settled Massachusetts in 1620 when they landed on a stone hummock. Maybe if they were here now, they would settle my stomach. Oh, if only I had the wings of a bird. Instead of being confined on Madison Avenue, I could soar in a jiffy to second or third. Spring Comes to Murray Hill, a poem by Ogden Nash from The Best of Ogden Nash, published by Ivan R.D. and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app. Available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Joy Biles, assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Summer is fast approaching, and with it, the 2014 season of Alaskan's Own community-supported fishery. Sign up now for your share of this season's sustainably sourced, locally caught, and locally processed seafood. 4 or 6 months, full or half share. Whatever you choose, you'll receive high-quality seafood from Southeast Alaska, like king salmon, rockfish, black cod, halibut, and more. All proceeds support our nonprofit work on behalf of local fisheries. Visit AlaskanZone.com or call 738-2275 for more information.
Time is 3:50 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Next guest is Catherine Hatch here to talk about what's going on in the art communities. Welcome, Catherine.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me. Boy, well, Garrison Keillor had it right. It is definitely the first day of spring here in Juneau, and March 20th marks that. And we are still on spring break, so lots of activities going on there. Tomorrow, for instance, you can catch the very last of the City Museum's Juneau Explorers class. That'll be $36 to send your kid off to learn about exploring museums. They came and visited us at the Jack earlier this week, so that was nice. Tonight, after work, why not take advantage of the sun, go out to the glacier, and stop in at the Visitor Center. It's free in the winter, and they're doing a welcome reception for the Juneau District Ranger, the new Juneau District Ranger, Brad Orr, from 5 to 6:30. So go and say hello. Maybe let him ask to see if he can try on the hat. I don't know. We've also got the Cycle Alaska Adventure Series, Burma and Beyond, presented by Willie Ware. So if you want to know what it's like to bike around in Burma, attend that as well. It's $15 at the door at the Hangar Ballroom. Third Thursday of the month is always family time at the Valley Library, so free fun for all the family down there. Also at 5:30 out in the Valley, the very first community gaming night is going to be taking place at the Utter Culture in the Mendenhall Mall. This is a comical thing to me because I usually don't think of video gamer enthusiasts as being very social, but prove me wrong, nerds. This is going to be their first meeting of weekly meetings Thursdays at Utter Culture, so if you like to play games, go and meet up with them. We've also got Cat on a Hot Tin Roof tonight. Theater in the Rough as well. And it's Thursday night, so 9 p.m. We've got karaoke at McGivney's. Tomorrow, Friday, there's going to be a last Friday art sale at Rob Roy's studio. He's not moving forever, just to a new location, and he's wanting to sell some things instead of having to move them. So get a good deal on art from Rob Roy's at his place on 119 Seward Street. We've also got a free movie night at the Canvas. They're going to be playing The Incredibles. That includes the popcorn, so go and check that out, the Canvas Studio. We'll also have the Fireside Lecture Series at the Mendenhall Glacier, this week talking about Alaska's hummingbirds with Gwen Bullis and Cheryl Carruthers. So it's almost the time for them to come in, I think. I haven't seen any yet, but Alaska hummingbirds, they'll be following the sun here.
We're ready. We're ready at our house.
I think so, yeah. Get your little feeder out and get your photo ready. We'll talk a little bit more about photos of the glacier in a minute, but also at 7 p.m. tomorrow, Friday, we've got the Fifth Element Hip-Hop Showcase down at the Jack. They've rented us out to do a hip-hop show with five different artists. It's $10 at the door, or you can buy tickets ahead as well at the Jack or online. Dan Hobson, as usual, will be in the Gold Room Friday and Saturday at 7 doing his classical guitar. Again, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, The Rivals, that'll be going through all weekend. 10 p.m. at the Alaskan this Friday for free for 21 and over. There's going to be a Word to the Wise battle with Soapy Smith and EPA are battling Phonetic and Mad Love. So if you haven't had a chance to go to an epic rap battle, this is your chance. It's totally free at the Alaskan, and it's put on by a good friend of mine, so it's going to be really cool. Also, all weekend, you can catch The Book Thief. If you've read the bestseller, then you might want to see the film in action. And even if not, it's a World War II drama, but told by the point of view of a German. So a little bit different. Saturday, we've got something special from the Canvas Studio. I've actually got the poster right here. It's the Sounds of the Capital City Adult Music Appreciation Class. So you don't have to learn, if you're not musically inclined, you don't have to learn how to play. But they'll be going to symphony rehearsals and kind of checking out instruments and getting a better appreciation for music and all the work that goes into making those melodious shows. We've also got, coming from the Fifth Element Showcase on Friday, there's actually going to be a workshop that they're putting on. The All of the Above Hip Hop Academy workshop is going to be at the UAS Rec Center. It's going to cost $20 to learn how to MC in free flow and rhyme, or $10 for UAS students, 1 p.m. Also, one final showing of Space Trucker Bruce. If you haven't been able to see this locally produced indie sci-fi comedy film, it's worth it just to see the shots around town and how it then becomes space. So go and see that at Gold Town, 2 p.m. on Saturday. Photo group, the Juno Photo Group. It's a wonderful Facebook group with a whole bunch of different beautiful photos on it. And they're putting on a free photography workshop also at the Mendenhall Glacier Center. You're going to want to bring your camera. I've got one of those fancy cameras at home that has about 80 different buttons on it. I have no idea what any of them mean. They are going to be there and helping us out, learning things like shutter setting and ISO, which I don't even know what those are. But I want to know because I make blurry photos. So no good. Go and do that. Improve yourself. Then at 7 p.m., you can go to the Roller Girls Bout, March Mendenhall Madness. That's 21 and over or with Guardian, $18 in advance or $20 at the door. There's also going to be an Equinox Barn Dance because what better way to celebrate the spring than by dancing. They've got the Taku Gales coming in from Canada. It's $5 to $8 depending on who you are, and it's going to be a fun time. There's also going to be a 90s throwback party featuring DJ White Chocolate over at McGivney's that Saturday night, so check that out if you're ready to celebrate the 90s again. Sunday, Skate City Family Roller Skating, also with DJ White Chocolate. If you can't get enough, $10 at Centennial for adults or $5 for kids 3 to 10 years old. You've got to bring your own skates, but they get out the disco ball and it's a fun time. We've also got Music on the Fly this Sunday. We're only doing it about once a month now. This month it's featuring 5 O'Clock Charlie, who's going to bring us some original hippie folk. So that'll be fun. It's free. It's at the airport and the baggage claim, so we're welcoming back all those spring breakers, or if you're going to go pick up someone, come early, 6:45, and listen to that music. There's also going to be music at the Rookery this Sunday. The Woolpollers will be there, and there'll be a limited menu from dinner, 7 p.m. There's also the regular Sunday Blues Fusion Night happening at the Alaskan. Those are free drop-in lessons at 7, and you can dance till 10. Perseverance has a showing of Cat on a Haunted Roof that Sunday, but Rivals won't have a Sunday one till next weekend. If you haven't gone and seen Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, I will admit to everyone that I did not think that I would like it very much. You know, I've seen the movie with Liz Taylor. Was not my favorite. But on stage, it's just totally different. I laughed out loud several times, even though it's just a really heavy, like, family tensions on steroids. Plus, it's the South. It is hot and everyone's generally irritated. But on stage, it's just different. And you've still got the tension. You've still got the perceived heat and all of the alcoholism and whatever. But it's just, they deliver the lines in a way that I would want to go see it again, actually. It's pretty good. And if you have seen it, you'll recognize actor Herbert Siguenza. He's coming up to us in Juno from San Diego, but he's actually a playwright and an actor of his own accord. And he's written a one-man show called A Weekend with Pablo Picasso. And Monday night at 7:30, you'll have a chance to see that at Perseverance. It's pay as you can, aka free. Or you can donate a little to Perseverance. But he's a painter, so I think he just kind of connected with Pablo Picasso and then put on, you know, wrote this play and is reading it. We've also got Gold Town, Antarctica, A Year on the Ice, playing all week. That's an adventure documentary. So put on three coats and go and watch that. You'll see the stunning pictures of what it's like to live in Antarctica. Spoiler alert, it is cold. Tuesday, 6 p.m., Alaska Design Forum. They've got their Bling Lecture Series. This one's going to be really cool, guys. It's a letterer and illustrator, Jessica Hish. She is the person behind fonts. How cool is that? But really important, Tuesday night at 7 p.m., we've got another Jack Season event, the Flying Karamazov Brothers Juggling. You're going to want to go see that. It's vaudevillian comedy. They're going to be juggling. They're going to be exploding things. We've got all these crazy props for them, so get your tickets to that before it sells out. We've already sold over 500 tickets.
All right, Catherine Hatch, thank you so much for coming into the station today.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We rebroadcast on translators K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, and K210 AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable, on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
Tomorrow on a Juneau afternoon, Pat Moore will be your host. We'll get an update on activities at the University of Alaska Southeast. Chris Schwartz will be here to highlight a couple of new restaurants in town, Salt and Saffron. Also get a preview of this week's Fireside Lecture at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center, Alaska's Hummingbirds with guests Gwen Bellis and Cheryl Carruthers. Also get the details on Saturday's Roller Girls Bout and Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more tomorrow at 3 on a Juneau afternoon. We have next is All Things Considered. With the forecast for tonight, partly cloudy skies with areas of fog later on, low temperatures 21 to 29 degrees. Forecast for Friday, partly cloudy skies in the morning, then becoming sunny with areas of fog in the morning, high temperatures around 38 degrees. Forecast for Saturday, partly cloudy skies with high temperatures around 37 degrees. Sunday, partly cloudy skies with high temperatures around 38 degrees.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel went farther today. She warned it would be much higher.